We begin with bad news for judges facing elections in America today. In the Citizens United era, a judge may be tempted to avoid leniency in a criminal defendant to avoid a campaign ad accusing that judge of being soft on crime. Is this democracy? Burt Brandenburg, executive director of Justice at Stake, doesn't like it at all. He said this on The Takeaway this year.
We give our judges a different assignment. The Constitution tells our judges, you're supposed to decide cases one at a time based on the facts and the law, not based on political pressure, not based on campaign ads, not based on campaign money you may have raised. And even more chilling is that the judges who are now trapped in the system, when they go out to raise the money, the people they go to are the parties who then appear before them.
And here's former Iowa State Supreme Court Justice David Baker.
I have a problem with this. I mean, aside from this fundraising aspect, there's going to be the perception by those using the courts that the court system is not fair and impartial.
Should judges have to raise money for their own elections? Should judges' elections be subject to traditional campaign finance laws where, in the Citizens United era, huge amounts of money can be spent to bring down sitting judges who might never have been noticed on the ballot before? Our next guest, Carolyn Fredrickson, president of the National Constitution Society, has been studying this. Carolyn, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's take a look at how you've studied this. You've looked broadly, and you've also looked at some of the tactics. First, broadly, how many judges are being affected by this phenomenon?
Well, we have campaigns that go on in the vast majority of our states. In fact, well, we looked at 32 states in the case of our most recent study, which was looking at the influence of campaign advertising. In this particular instance, we looked at how ads using criminal cases as a framework affected how judges voted subsequently on cases in front of them that concerned violent crimes, rape, murder, aggravated assault, and so forth. And, you know, the basic fact was that the judges are influenced. And, you know, this is distressing because, you know, obviously we want our judges to be impartial. And the clip you used from Burt Brandenburg is exactly right. We expect judges to be different. We expect them to be above the fray, neutral parties, you know, the scales of justice, you know, justice is blind. But in fact, justice in this case has her hand out and is taking money from the parties in front of her. And the campaign ads that she hears are influencing which side of the scale is up and which is down.
Can you document a case where a defendant received a sentence that was far more harsh because perhaps the judge didn't want a lenient sentence to appear in a campaign commercial?
Well, you know, I'll tell you how it works. And we looked at more in the aggregate. But if you have, say, a case where 10,000 TV spots aired, and this is not unusual, 10,000. I mean, this is how campaigns have changed. In those cases, justices overall are 11% more likely to vote against a defendant than a justice in a state with no TV ads. 11% is a big swing. And we looked at also the change after Citizens United. Before Citizens United, you know, there were many of the states had a ban on this kind of independent expenditures. And these are, you know, these are independent groups that are running these ads. Usually they don't care that much about crime, but it's a good foil or a proxy for the other issue that they care about. But after Citizens United, when the bans were lifted, and in those states that had not before had this kind of advertising, we've already seen a 7% change, a 7% increase in the justices at the state Supreme Court level voting against criminal defendants. And, you know, I say this because, you know, this is sort of our most fundamental right. With this, you know, the state is against you. You have the right to be tried fairly. And yet we see that these judges are afraid of what's going to happen if they're somehow seen as soft on crime, and they can envision the ad now. And, you know, there's a good example, which is, you know, better known than most because it went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. There's a case called Caperton. And in that case, there was a coal company owner named Don Blankenship who in West Virginia, he wanted to change the majority on the state Supreme Court because he'd had a large damage award against his company. And he wanted to reverse that. And so he founded a group. It was called And For the Sake of the Kids. I mean, it's so cynical. But he put millions of dollars into it, and he ran ads accusing the justice he wanted off the court of letting a child molester out of jail. But the ad is, you know, is chilling because you see how these issues are used to pressure justices, not just in the criminal justice cases, although that's what we looked at in this study, but it pressures them in all the different cases. It's a way of keeping them in line on political issues that undermines the administration of justice in this country.
Well, here's an ad which was not admissible in court, but based on the way campaigns are conducted in the state of West Virginia, it certainly could easily have been in the minds of jurors and certainly in the mind of the judge here. Listen.
Supreme Court Justice Warren McGraw voted to release child rapist Tony Arbaugh from prison. Worse, McGraw agreed to let this convicted child rapist work as a janitor in a West Virginia school. Warren McGraw, too soft on crime, too dangerous for our kids.
That's the one, right?
Right, that's the one. Yeah. And you see how well disguised the issue is, which is really about Don Blankenship, you know, wanting to keep the money in his own pocket when he owed money in this big damage award against his company. And so he takes it out on this judge and he makes this, you know, this sensationalistic attack ad about something totally different.
I'm wondering if any of this is challengeable. I mean, the judgeship elections were obscure because people just didn't pay a lot of attention to what's going on here. But, you know, that's not any sort of constitutional question. The fact that suddenly people are paying attention, suddenly ads are focused on individual candidates, there's nothing necessarily illegal about all of that.
Well, this is true, although even our U.S. Supreme Court, even with Citizens United, has been more protective of state judges than it is of politicians in terms of campaign finance reform. So there's a potential that they see it differently. But there are other ways of choosing judges. And, you know, we're rather anomalous in the world that we elect judges. It's not something that I think there's any other country in the world that does. But I've talked to too many lawyers and too many judges who describe how unseemly it is that, you know, one day the judge is at a law firm and there's a fundraiser at the law firm and all the lawyers give money to the judge. And the next day those lawyers are back in the courtroom in front of that same judge. And one would like to think they're not influenced by it, but you suspect, of course, that they are. And certainly the appearance of corruption is so strong that it undermines the people's trust and belief in our justice system.
Well, nothing will change until a state-by-state initiative actually gets rid of these electoral cases in the selection of judges. Carolyn Fredrickson, president of the American Constitution Society, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.